Peace and innumerable blessings, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Spirituality and Motherhood Podcast, where we're going to look at that sacred space where spirituality meets motherhood by exploring everything from how ancestral and earth-based spiritual paths and practices shape motherhood to how having spiritual gifts impacts your experience as a mother. I'm Jeanette Lantan, your host. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Let's dig in. So for this episode, I had the wonderful opportunity to talk to Chakra Khan of Namastoned. And we talked about her experience working with psychedelics and her just connection to plants in general and how it's been able to hold this sacred space for her to be the mom that she has always wanted to be. And also just how plants have shaped her path in general. It was a really eye-opening experience. I love talking about spirituality and motherhood and hearing women's stories, but like plant mamas have a special space in my heart. They just do. As a tree talker, I'm just always excited when I get an opportunity to learn about how plants have shaped somebody else's life. But before we get that, there's like a little bug in my ear. I'm sitting by the ancestral altar and they're like, you got some business to spill. So I guess I'm going to tell my business. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Let's dig into it. It's going to be channeled, so I don't know how this is going to go. So if you had the opportunity to listen to the last episode where I share what being in this new house has been like and how it's been, what it's been like working with a house that has challenges in its foundation, and that challenge in the foundation of the house is pointing out my own sort of foundational issues, and just how that adventure has been. It feels like it's important to share like what sort of spiritual practices I'm doing to navigate it and how it's going. So let's start with the spiritual practices. It's been, I'm not gonna lie, it's been hell. Because it's very challenging to be parenting in a foreign country, in a foreign culture during COVID while exploring the ways that, you know, being raised the way I was impacted me. So the things that I have been leaning on in terms of spiritual practice and path is a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. Me and the Psalms and the Book of Kings, just thick as thieves these days, which is interesting when I look back and think about my childhood, because my father was always reading Psalms or reading Corinthians or reading, like he was always in his Bible. So it's very soothing and high key entertaining to be digging into the Bible, because that's not necessarily what I thought I would be doing or what would bring me solace or what would actually seem like it's affecting my healing in a positive way. And it's very interesting. The book I've been working with, I have my daddy's Bible, and like, I really feel like I should get more into bibliomancy, but I haven't like that Bible's calling. It's like, you need to open up and read it. I was like, Oh, can I just work with Powers of the Psalms? And that's what I've been working with, Powers of the Psalms. There is a Psalm for everything. And my spirit is soothed and moved. And I'm finding myself being guided around like things to do to heal. So that's one spiritual practice. One spiritual practice. And the irony is like, I always pray the 23rd Psalm, and it makes me so much think of my daddy, because we would like always pray the 23rd Psalm before going to sleep. It always made for good dreams. Some other things, other practices that I've been leaning into is a lot of candle magic. I love fire. I love water, but like I very much am fire. Like the elements in Mother Earth have very much been pulling me in to kind of sharpen and shift how my intuition works and flows. There's also been an abundance of spiritual baths. I kid you not. Like 4 out of 7 days in the week, my tail's in a spiritual bath. And it's been helpful. It's been very, very helpful in allowing me to be clear about what needs to be healed. It's been very helpful around moving some stagnant energy. It's been very helpful in like doing heavy lifting. Because if you involve the right plants, things move. And kind of like just non sequitur, I did one of my favorite things to do when I'm in a everything must heal sort of space, which happens with me. Sometimes I'm like, this needs to be healed by 5 o'clock, goddammit. But I talked to a shaman, which is, it was loving. I liked it. It was very helpful. I very much enjoy working with shamans to get to understand things from a different space and to see things from a different space, because they just see things differently from my experience, rather than when I'm talking to a reader who's, you know, the ancestors communicate with shamans, at least from my experience, in a different way than they communicate with readers that I'm working with. I'm trying to think if anything else wants to be talked about. Because it's been a beast. But what feels most helpful is like the spiritual baths. Definitely the prayers. I find like the more I pray, the more deeply connected to my ancestors, my honorable ancestors, which actually feels like it needs to be talked about again. I am. And the more I do this work around healing the foundation, doing foundational healing, the more I feel like the ancestors who are around me are shifting. They're shifting again. And in many ways, it's sad because like I'm very love and light. I'm very Pollyanna. So to actually... And it's been interesting because we had a conversation where I kind of lit them up. And then like, I felt bad. I was like, oh, I can't light y'all up, y'all. Like, this is your trauma too. Like, how am I going to be mad that like you're traumatized and I'm traumatized and we're traumatized together? How can I be mad? You just can't, you know, you just can't sit at the table on these sort of decisions. You're going to have to leave this table. Now that table you can stay at, that those things you are solid on. You're solid when we communicate on these things. But this stuff right here, this trauma and all the stuff that unfurls around it, I can't take your advice no more. I just can't. Because I'm not trying to go from one ruckus to another ruckus. Things are changing. We ain't got time for all this ruckus. I'm not trying to deal with all the ruckus at once. So there's been, to be completely honest, there's like grief around that. And then there's, yeah, it's been interesting. It's been an interesting, hard, stinky time. And I'm so looking forward to shifting. But, you know, we'll make it through one way or another. Anyway, let's dig into this interview. I pray it blesses you. Peace. People need to hear your juice about plant medicine. And I'm so sorry because like I don't record everything, but like let's get into the juice of you
right away.
Plant medicine. Yeah, let's bang okay. It. Let's do it. The baby's here, the baby's quiet. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Are you ready, Tiger Lily? Are you ready?
I'm just like eyes like, you know what? So you combine plant medicine and yoga. And can you please talk about how did you end up working with plant medicine? How did the plants get you?
The plants got me, and it's funny because I was raised in a cult and I was against all drugs. And I was, this is the long about way how I got into plant medicine, but I was a single mom and I was working as a sales rep for a company that sold biomedical devices for infertility to hospitals. So I was traveling a lot and I was missing about 2.5 to 3 weeks of my son's life, of Basil, which is incidentally I named all of my children after plants, but that was purely coincidental. And I got into this really cool kindergarten where the parents have to volunteer. It was a co-op. You have to volunteer in order for your kid to go there. And I thought, well, how am I going to like do both of these things? So I quit my job.
I love it.
I quit my job and I got a job working for a startup cannabis company called the Venice Cookie Company. And I was able to work part-time and be class mom and basically spend the 4 hours a day at school with him that I wanted to. And I took a massive pay cut. I'm talking like a $50,000 a year pay cut to do this. So we moved into a smaller place. My parents didn't know what I was selling. They were furious when they found out, but they supported, and keep in mind, I'm like, you know, 30 now. Yeah. They supplemented my income so I could be a present parent for Basil. And I kept working and pretty soon like sales were picking up. And within, I don't know, 2 years, I'm making $20,000 a month selling legal weed. Working part-time, being a present parent. So when I say plant medicine changed my life, it changed my life and the ability to show up for my kid and be the mommy that I had wanted to be his entire life. It just took 5 years to get there, right?
I'm so happy for you. And it's one of the first questions I had is, what is your relationship with marijuana like?
I love her. I love her. Santa Maria, she is magical in so many ways. She has saved me in so many ways. I don't know if you want to get into like juicy dirt.
Go wherever you want with it. Like I'm game. I'm really curious.
You know how it is after you have a baby and you don't necessarily feel sexual?
Yep.
You get, at least I was touched out. I didn't want to be touched by anyone because everyone's making physical demands of my body after I did this physically demanding thing. Mm-hmm. My husband, all up in his feelings, you don't love me, you don't think I'm sexy. And I'm like, oh my God, do I need to make space for your feelings too? I'm postpartum. Yes. But yeah, I do need to consider him too, because of 9 months not wanting to be touched, moving into another 9 months of it. Cannabis can be a real eye opener. I don't have this company anymore because California cannabis laws suck. I had an edibles company where we would make candy that made you feel like you had an open chakra. Mm-hmm. So our sacral chakra candies would flood the basement.
Ooh.
And they gave me a sustainable sex life until mentally my body wanted it physically, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Yes. So yeah, cannabis has been really instrumental in my life as far as supporting the family and making my husband feel loved and appreciated, putting me in that right space to do it.
Beautiful. So like, how did you meet Santa Maria? How did you meet cannabis?
I maybe smoked pot like once a year for a few years. My ex-husband was a a big stoner, and I thought that that was really shitty because of how I was raised. Like, you don't do drugs. So when we had Basil, like, I, when he was gone, I took his bongs, I took his pipe, I threw him in the dumpster, but like, I broke him and threw him in the dumpster. I'm like, it's time to grow up. but when I walked out of working for Invitrogen, that was the company that I was working for, I needed a job, and I saw an ad for a sales rep for a company that specialized in nutraceutical food. That was their way of saying edibles.
Nutraceutical food. I love it.
So I applied and they called me back and we had a resume and I had a real meeting of the minds with the CEO, Marco. He's like, well, tell me something about yourself. And I'm like, well, right off the bat, I need 1 month off every summer so I could go to Burning Man. And he goes, you're a burner? And that was, that's how I got introduced into the cannabis world. It was, at first I didn't try any product, but as I am trying to sell the product and I'm meeting people who are telling me how much it changed their lives by getting them off of pharmaceutical meds. I met a woman who had overdosed. She had cancer and she was discombobulated and she confused which medication she was taking and she took too much of the wrong one and ended up back in the hospital. So her daughter, are you getting all in here now, Tiggy? So her daughter started giving her cannabis to manage her pain. So she went from four or five different meds to one single med that she got to smoke or eat. And she was able to control how much she took and how she felt. I mean, let's not lie. Like,
that's empowering.
Brownies, yeah. And I'd much rather eat a brownie than take a Vicodin.
Yes.
Thankfully.
Wow. Wow. So was cannabis ever around? Like, even when you were younger? Like, did she pop up?
Nope.
Or just with, she just rolled in with the husband, be like, hey, the ex.
She rolled in with the husband, and it wasn't until we were divorced that I let her in my life. And I have to tell you how shocked he was, because he was like, are you kidding me? You owe me so many bongs right now. Because it was big fights in our house over it. I didn't understand that he was using it as medicine. I didn't understand that that was how he was treating his depression. I don't even think he knew at the time that's what he was doing. You know, he just knew he needed to get up and he needed to take it when he got up. And being raised in a very closed off environment, like, I wasn't allowed to hang out with anyone that wasn't from my religion. So my only baseline was what my parents told me. Tiggy, go see daddy. The joys of being a stay-at-home mom, but my husband is still here. Can you go see Papa?
So with that being said, like, did she bring any other friends with her? Any
did
other
who bring
friends with her? Like, I also saw you did something like went to a class with Mugwort, who Mugwort could also send you out there. Like,
he has bought all the friends with her. So after cannabis, we moved on to mushrooms. I love working with mushrooms. It's not a plant. I like psychedelics. I love LSD. I was microdosing with mushrooms and LSD for probably 6 months. And then I found out that I was pregnant with her. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop, and I'm looking forward to not breastfeeding anymore, so then I can start microdosing the mushrooms again. Mm-hmm. I had this idea, because you also know, you know, I'm a tarot reader and a psychic.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be really interesting to microdose mushrooms a little bit every day and see what happened. After the first month of mushrooms, my body stopped craving alcohol. So, you know, and I wasn't an alcoholic, but I can certainly, you know, start with a glass of wine and finish with two bottles if I was with friends. But the need, the physical need that you have when you're in a social situation to drink with other people is gone. So I haven't had a drink in, how old is she? She's one. So I guess like 2.5, 3 years, I haven't had any alcohol. Well, I've had some, like I had a glass of wine, half a glass of wine when we went out to dinner with some business associates and they were French and like you drink wine.
Yes, you drink wine with the French or you will get bullied. You have alcohol with the French or they will just bully you.
He looked at me like I was crazy and I'm like, I don't drink. And he's like, what? Yes. And I'm like, okay, I will have some wine. There is definitely a nipple in that bottle with me though. So that was the first profound experience I had with mushrooms, was that it just took away the social need to drink, which is really, it's mental. And the hopes was that I would do a really big dose and try and channel messages from spirit to interpret a tarot deck. But I didn't get that far along in the process because baby.
Yeah. Oh.
You're just being wiggly. I'm going to put this up here now. Sister friend.
So, okay, two different directions. The first direction is, as you worked being a tarot reader and being psychic, how has working with plants shifted that for you? Or has it shifted that for you? Or has it?
It's amazing. So every year at Burning Man, I bring a camp there called the Botanica Bodhi Mananan Bejesus. Awesome. It's a hoodoo camp and we explore lots of stuff in there, and people also come and give you things because it's Burning Man, you get a gift.
Yeah.
And someone gave me a gift and I tried some and my third eye was wide open. It was straight up channeling. I don't know where stuff was coming from, but this woman came in and she was crying and she said, "You need to help me." She's like, "Can you help find lost things?" And I said, "Yes. What did you lose?" And she said, "Your ring." And I said, "You left it at Pyramid Lake when you went swimming on your way in."
Wow.
Where did that come from? Where did that come from? That was the first day and the last time anything like that has ever happened. But it was because of that plant. Like every single wall was down. And as a spiritualist, that's really scary, because you don't know what can come in.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'd care to repeat that experience again.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to be able to control what can come in. I don't know how much work you do. But sorry, this baby is just
babies just in
general. Yeah, they are. Hold on. I'm just going to move myself into the kitchen where she can't get this. So that was my experience with that one. I started doing stoned yoga when I was in LA working for the Venice Cookie Company. And I was doing that for several years. I have a company called Namastoned. And we moved out to the desert, the high desert, where cannabis is not legal at all. There are no delivery services. There is nothing. So it made me open up to legal psychedelics. And that's how I started working with the plants that I'm working with now at the yoga studio. Okay. Mugwort, okay. Blue Lotus. Blue Lotus. Is kind of my favorite.
Yeah.
And what's really fun is really, because I'm not familiar with these when I start them. So it's a real nosedive into legal psychedelics and the best preparations for them. This month we're working with Kalia Zacate Chichi, which is the Mexican dream herb, which I took 3 times and I'm not taking that again. It has really intense, beautiful dreams that are like in Technicolor, like Wizard of Oz hued dreams. But I had something get past my spiritual barriers and come and see me in the astral realm. And I'm like, nah, I don't like you. I don't like that. So I'm going to take that as a sign that that's probably not a plant medicine I should work with. I'm going to respect that boundary.
Yeah. So how has working with plant medicine supported you as a mom? Just out of cannabis, creating space to anchor you to be able to be the mom that you wanted to be. What other ways has it supported you outside of, you know, just you and Basil? Because you have 3 kids, right?
I have 3 kids now. I don't want to say diminished my work. I have stopped using plant medicine as a way to commodify, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
I'm not commodifying it anymore. When I was working for the big cannabis company, you know, I had goals. I had a number of accounts that I had to close. I actually moved up into the company and I became business development manager. I was commodifying the plant then. And there's, you always respect the plant, but you stop thinking about it when there is pressure. And that's actually why I am using it the way I'm using it now. We're using it in meditation. I am holding 2 weekly yoga classes with it. And I do a lot of retreats with plant medicine, not specifically cannabis right now. So it's kind of my, with 3 kids and me wanting to stay home to be a mom with them because I can, this is kind of my self-care.
Yes.
It's really hard to have a personal spiritual practice at home with 3 kids because, you know, they like to get into everything. You know, we had to have a talk about mommy's magic candles. I do a lot of client work and spell work. So I've got like my personal altar. I've got the altars that I use for my clients. And, you know, it's really hard to get that time. My time in my class with my students is my personal time too, and where I get to continue that spiritual nourishment. The prep time is spiritual growth as I get to learn, because, you know, if I say I want to sit down and read about this plant, no. But if I'm working, people actually in the house, they respect work, not so much personal time.
Yes. Have you found yourself perchance like dropping little hints when you're doing spell work around your kids, being like, oh, this is for this, or oh, this is this? Because I find myself sometimes being like, okay, this plant's this. Okay, what do you work with this plant for? And they'll be like, oh, this. I'm like, okay. Do you find yourself doing that?
I do with my older son, but not my younger children. So my oldest, Basil, is 16 and August is 5 and doesn't really care. Wait, hold on. I see death.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
You're
good.
She was going to fall off. She was going to fall off of something. And I'm like, yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
No, I get it.
Augie doesn't care. I'm homeschooling him and Basil right now. And, you know, it's always an argument. Why do you have to teach me? Why do you have to teach me? And I'm like, so I don't go to jail. And so yesterday he said, Mom, can you just go to jail for a little while so I could have a break? But Basil tries the plant medicine with me. Like when I make, not the cannabis, but when we do the lotus, you know, I make lotus tea. He drinks the tea. He tried the Kale Zacate Chichi. He drinks kava. I actually, because he's autistic and he has depression. I've been giving Basil kava since he was a kid. Just, you know, a couple of dropperfuls of tincture every day. So plant medicine is actually not new to Basil. And when it was just he and I, and I had a ton of weed and edibles in the house, we had a conversation about, before you eat anything, ask. This looks like candy, but it's not, it's medicine. If you take it, it'll make you really sick because you don't need it. But these kids are getting a bit of a different upbringing than Basil did. So we'll see what happens with Augie as he gets older, but right now I'm getting the 5-year-old finger when it comes to mommy trying to educate him on anything.
Yeah, I get that.
I get that so much.
I get that so much.
So like, how has having subsequent children kind of shifted your relationship with the various spirits that you interact with? Because it seems like you have a cadre around you.
I've closed off the house. We had, we've lived in a few haunted places, and Basil had an attachment that we got rid of last June. That attachment came to me and was when I was planning to, you know, the ritual to get rid of it. It came to me and it was like, I need to be here.
Yeah.
I need to be here. So after that, I just closed everything because I don't want my other children to experience what Basil did. And for Basil, must have been living with it for a long time for me to not notice it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like when things get attached to or attracted to kids, it's like how to... Yeah, like how to deal with that, especially
when I do it at a young age, you know, I didn't know. I just, you know, particularly Basil has autism, you know, he had the diagnosis was Asperger's, but they don't give that diagnosis anymore. So, you know, he's always been an interesting person.
So now everything's sealed off and you're able to still do the work that you're doing, but you know.
I'm able to still do the work I'm doing. We have to put up, I found, reinforce the boundaries every day. Cause I feel like, I don't know how much you know about this area, Joshua Tree.
Nothing.
Joshua Tree, is a deeply spiritual place. There are 14 vortexes here, portals. There is giant rock out here, which is rumored to be an alien landing. There's lots of spiritual activity. So I think when you are a spirit or an entity living amongst millions of people that cannot see you, the few people that can see you, you go knocking repeatedly, needing that interaction.
Yes.
Because they love us.
Yes. And then like, you know, I guess also, which I guess like makes sense to have the no fly zone because they especially love children. I feel like children haven't tricked themselves out of hearing, out of seeing and being okay with it and realizing like there's a whole different world out there despite like whatever the teacher or my extra playmate, like whatever says. Like I remember having ghost playmates as a kid.
So how did you approach that? Because truthfully, this is something that I struggle with, you know, being raised in a fundamentalist Christian cult. This was spiritism. It was bad. It was demonic. So when Basil's telling me that there's things there, I freak out. I panic. I'm still learning how to have a good relationship with them. Right now, it just all kind of, you know, triggers that early, that early soundtrack I was played.
So with the eldest, it's more like tell that shit to get out your body. And I try to be really heavy on the spiritual hygiene. I'm all about spiritual baths. I'm all about mopping floors. I'm all about smudging. Because as a kid, I had a hard time, even as an adult, I have a hard time being in my body. And I know like if I'm not in my body, what else is? So be careful. And I have to be careful around them. The second one doesn't have that problem because he's like, what? If something messes with him, they're going to have a fight because that's just who he is. But the first one is very much like, you know, how's your body? What color is your body today? Is that yours? Are you feeling this? Is this yours? You know, if it's not yours, so you need to tell it to get out.
He's able to play with them and engage with them?
The things that have visited him have not been nice.
Yeah.
In France, they've been kind of bullies. In America,
but I said so. It's like GTFO.
Yeah, like I remember the first place we moved in, the spirits were like, "You don't belong here. You need to get out." I'm like, "What? They told you what?"
Okay. Oh, those poor little souls.
But things are better where we're at.
Wow. How old is he?
He is 7.
Amazing.
So
amazing.
But that, I mean, this, he's just so interesting to me. He's so physical with it and I'm just not physical.
Right.
I'm like a breeze. Woo. He's just like, it's in my body. My stomach is no longer yellow. This is a problem. The darkness is taking me over.
What a sensitive little guy you have.
And the other one
is blessing.
They need each other. I'm so happy they're together.
Yeah, that's why you had both.
Man, these children.
These children are amazing.
They are. And I feel like I would be so much more messed up and smaller without them.
You know, they really, if you are a good parent, and when I say a good parent that is willing to grow, learn, make mistakes, and apologize with your kids, right? It was a big turning point for me. Is realizing I don't know what the F I'm doing, and that's okay. It's okay because I don't want my scars to be passed on to my kid. So I don't want him to have the same upbringing I did of shame and everything was bad and judgment, you know. That's how I know I'm a good parent is, you know, I've never once told my kids they're bad. And when other people are like, oh, he was being bad, I said, no, they're just exploring. They're having a difficult time. We don't know how to communicate these feelings we're feeling, but my child inherently is not bad. You take that biblical BS and fuck off.
It's so powerful though, because kids get pelted with that. Like they get pushed in this little box of behaviors that they're supposed to be modeling, but those behaviors don't even serve them.
No, they're just exploring. They're exploring, they're figuring out, they are finding out, but they are, you know, they are honesty and their honesty and integrity. I hate when people get mad when kids lie. They're like, oh, you know, they're so dishonest, they're lying. And I said, no, they're afraid of your reaction. So like, let's keep it real here.
That.
Yeah. Inherently, they're honest. I don't know how many times Basil told me when he was little, Mom, when I get married, I'm going to marry someone just like you, but with shorter boobs. Like, like, it's your fault they're so long. They're honest. And we teach them to be dishonest to save feelings, which is fine.
Wow. Like, you are, you're living the life. I want to talk to you, but I have to go get the kids. The thing is, they just let the eldest out. So like, he'll be just wandering around looking for me. And this is not safe. Can you not
do that?
Can you not let my child wander the streets?
Like outside your house?
When it's time for him to come out of school, they just let him walk out. Because
I'm
like close by. Somebody could just snatch you and they would know.
No. And that's scary. Go get your kids.
Oh, I am. It's like, I want to talk to you again though. You inspire me in the sense of like, you're a free woman. There's something about being free that I don't think that a lot of women get that they can be.
What do you mean by free? Do you mean like giving zero fucks?
You're yourself. You're yourself, yes. And you're one with nature in a way that, how do I describe what I'm seeing? Nature pulls off the boundaries. You're working with a plant and it pulls off boundaries that are imposed by man, and it pulls off constructs that are imposed by man and not supposed to be. At least that's what I'm seeing. Like this constantly evolving and growing plant, but like there are parts that are other plants that are helping it grow and helping it evolve. Kind of like, you know, a fungus helps trees grow.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing going on.
I love fungi, and there's so much to talk about how amazing it is. Have you watched that documentary on Netflix?
There's so much I have not done. There's a story.
If there's one you watch, I'm going to beseech you to watch this, because mushrooms, one of the coolest things I found out is that mushrooms help trees communicate.
Yeah.
My mind was blown. We think about us communicating with them, but mushrooms are the helpers. They are the ones that help trees send extra nutrients to its offspring. Like, it's like, this world is cosmic. It's so cosmic. And we, compared to all of the magnificent plants in the ways that we can't communicate, like, they're so cosmic and magical and amazing, and being able to have access to them so we can hear how they communicate and maybe help better ourselves. It's remarkable.
Thank you for being willing to do this.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you for reaching out. This was fun.
Wasn't that beautiful? I thought it was beautiful. I hope it blessed you. And you found beauty in it. I just, that one relationship with that plant, that relationship with Mary Jane opened up everything. And Mary Jane was always around watching, be like, I'm gonna get you one day. Just opened up so she could parent Basil in a way that was aligned with her being and Basil's being. Connected her to a whole different, you know, bunch of other plants to support her and her growth and her development. Just, it's amazing. It's amazing to me how things come together when we allow our spiritual gifts to guide us and to help us flourish. So if you want to get with Chakra Khan, you can find her on Instagram at Namastoned, N-A-M-A-S-T-O-N-E-D, Namastoned. We can learn more about what she's into, like her yoga classes, as well as also Chakra Khan does tarot readings. So if you want a reading from her, which she briefly mentioned, we talked a little bit about spiritual work in the interview. If you want a tarot reading from Chakra Khan, be sure to slide in her DMs and let her know. Let her know you're interested. So for the next interview, I had the opportunity to talk to Asada de la Cruz of Cottage Core Rising. You can check out Cottage Core Rising at CottageCoreRising, Rising, RISING.com. You could also catch Cottage Core Rising on Instagram. Cottage Core Rising is a apothecary owned by Asada de la Cruz that's rooted in fostering community through the appreciation and application of Yoruba and Shatta ancestral wisdom. In addition to organic herbs, extracts, and oils for purchase, there are bi-weekly classes and workshops on holistic living, as well as private and group yoga classes. Recognizing that sacred healing begins in the womb, Asada also offers holistic birth, postpartum support as a doula, breastfeeding, counseling, and childbirth education. So this interview with Asada was really amazing for me in the sense of, for her talking about her spiritual gifts and how things spiritually unfolded, her life, her spirituality unfolded, was like her gifts were always present within her, but it got to a point where her gifts needed to be shared. And she recognized that her gifts were actually gifts that she needed to share with people around her, because her gifts led to a blessing where, you know, she can't just keep it to herself. She's been blessed. And this blessing needs to support her community, uplift her community. And that was, that touched my spirit. At the root of what she does is community and uplifting the community and supporting the community, and also supporting, you know, the spirit of resistance against consumerism. It was really beautiful talking to her. So I pray that you tune in next time and that you can be inspired and touched by this conversation too. Anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you for being with me. Should you have anything that you would like me to address on the podcast, or you would like me to ask another mom, get at me on spiritualityandmotherhoodpodcast.com, and you can leave me a message. You can leave me a message. You can send me a message, whatever. You can also find me on Instagram at spirituality_motherhood_pod. And just slide in my DMs. Just slide them and be like, hey, look now. And again, like, I'm not the end all, know all, be all of everything. But, you know, if you got a question, I'll do a segment, or I'll, you know, ask a mom, depending on what you're seeking. I look forward to connecting again with you soon. Stay blessed. Peace.